If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Transform the way you hunt with the all-new Base cellular trail camera connected by the Moultrie mobile app. Moultrie mobile's industry-best app gives you complete control over your camera settings, up-to-the-minute updates from the field, and other interactive scouting tools on your smartphone or computer. Features like weather forecast, advanced species recognition, interactive maps, and a whole lot more. For more information and to make your purchase, visit www.moultriemobile.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we're talking with a company, Light Boots. And so their owner reached out to me and said, hey, man, I'd like to send you a pair of boots, rubber boots, or they're not rubber boots, as you will hear in this podcast, but they looked like rubber boots. And I kind of hesitated for a little while. Then I went on their social media page and I started looking at they did this thing where they recorded people's reaction when they handed like people at trade shows boots. And the reaction is what got me interested in getting these guys on the podcast, because people assumed it was some heavy, bulky boot, and they grab it and it's extremely light. And since then, they had sent me a pair of boots in the mail. And I've been able to feel them, and it is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Their name, Light Boots, definitely rings true in reflecting what the product actually is. And so on the podcast today, we have a gentleman, Brooks Tinsley. He's one of the founder of the company. And so he comes on the show today to talk about the material that's used in this boot. It looks like a rubber boot, but it's not rubber. And so it's a very unique product, and I think that it definitely has its place in the hunting space for sure. And so that's what we talk about today. We talk about company history. We talk about the material. We talk about the application. We talk about who his end user, who he feels his end user is, and how this might play a role in a variety of hunting scenarios. So really interesting podcast. I love products like this because it's a different way to look at an old problem. And so it was a pretty interesting conversation. So before we get into today's podcast, though, we're going to do some quick commercials. Tethered, if you're looking for a good saddle, if you're looking for a good platform, climbing sticks, saddle accessories, go check out Tethered, man. These guys have got saddle hunting figured out. So if you're looking for an additional tool to throw into your arsenal when it comes to tracking down big bucks, go check out Tethered. If you're looking for a hunting app that you probably already have it on your, because it's popular. It is the most popular, the most downloaded hunting app that there is. And Hunt Stand, it's popular for a reason. It's because there's so much functionality on this app. It allows you to do all the basics, right? Look at satellite imagery, look at landowners, look at where public meets private, look for access, all that stuff, topography. But it also allows you to manage trail camera pictures. It allows you to document your outdoor adventures and document things like scrapes. And I use the word document. I use the word journal a lot because what it is, it is a journal. Every time you go out, you add something, a little tidbit here. Here's a scrape. Here's a rub. Here's a trail. Here's where my trail cameras are. Here's where my tree stands are at. And what that does is it allows you to basically graph everything, and you can go in and you can just have better luck because you can look at all the documentation that you have. So if you're interested in something like that, and I strongly suggest that you should be, you go check out huntstand.com. Discount code is SN20 for 20% off. And lastly, we have Annihilator Broadheads. These guys have a very unique broadhead that is designed to create less drag on the shaft of the arrow, right? So this wound channel that the broadhead creates reduces the drag on the arrow. And so the whole point of it is for more pass-throughs, right? So if you want to find out more information on Annihilator Broadheads, the design, how it is functioning, then you definitely got to go check out their website at Annihilator Broadheads. So there's that. Huge shout out to all the brands that support the podcast. Huge shout out to all of you for taking time out of your day to listen to this podcast. And hit me up. If you are a manufacturer and you would like to be featured on the Hunting Gear Podcast, hit me up. If you have an idea of a product that you would like to see featured on the podcast, hit me up. And I do most of my communication through Instagram, Nine Finger Chronicles. Hit me up. And let's get into today's podcast, Light Boots with Brooks Tinsley. All right, on the phone with me today from Light Boots, I'm talking with Brooks Tinsley. Brooks, how we doing, man?
Doing great, man. Little warm, but other than that, I'm doing good.
Yeah, it's we just had a big cold front. I don't even want to say it's cold front, like we're talking like hunting terms, but a summer rain shower came through yesterday morning. It got a little humid, but then overnight, man, it's absolutely gorgeous here in Iowa today.
Wow. Now, whereabouts are you at?
Eastern Iowa is where I'm located.
Nice. Yeah. We're down here in the doldrums of Mississippi, and it is hot, and we would do just about anything for rain right now.
Yeah.
It's hot and dry.
Yeah. I don't know why, whenever I watch a movie about the South, right, whether it's long time ago or I don't know, something recent, they always have like the heat element of the South, especially Mississippi. It's just like everybody's sweating, everybody's, drying the sweat off their head and things like that. And the humidity, right?
Yeah, the humidity. This is a time of the year that you really just question why you're here at all.
Right. Why don't I live in North Dakota or Minnesota?
Why am I not in Iowa right now?
Yeah. So, but the good thing about Mississippi, and I don't know whereabouts in Mississippi you guys are located, but from my understanding, certain parts of Mississippi have some really good deer hunting.
Oh, they do. It's, you know, there's pockets where the deer hunting is just phenomenal. Big yeah. deer. So yes, sir, it's kind of, you know, slowly, you know, as QDM and stuff has really taken hold, and a lot of people are doing a lot more management on particular properties, and it's really paid off.
Yeah. These guys. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So light boots. Okay. Mm-hmm. You reached out to me and you said, "Hey Dan, can I send you a pair of boots?" And so I usually don't respond right away to things, because sometimes, you know how these days are. It could be a scam. Oh, yeah. It could be whatever. Yeah. So I go to your website, or your Instagram page, your social media, and I start mm-hmm. looking through the social media page, and I see these reaction videos that mm-hmm. That you've posted from, it looks like some kind of trade show that you guys are going to, that you've went to.
Yeah, I think that was from NWTF.
Okay. All right. So what you're doing, and I think this is marketing genius, you are recording somebody from your team handing a random person a boot, a rubber boot, and getting their reaction to it. And it's those videos, the reactions, that made me respond to you and say, "Hey man, we got to get these guys on on the podcast, because there's something about this boot that must be different if you're catching these authentic reactions from people." So before we get into all of like the details about the company, how old are you guys? How old is Light Boots?
I would say old. We're new, brand yeah. new. So it was an idea I had about a year and a half ago, and ran some sample prototype models for the past year. And we had that soft launch in February at NWTF, but we actually just got product in less than a month ago. So we're actually finally able to, you know, get these boots out to the customers that have pre-ordered them. And similar deal that you saw in those reaction videos, a lot of the stuff that we got in the mail, your email and reviews, was like, wow. Like I thought they were going to be light, but I had no idea exactly how light they were going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So my experience with rubber boots back in the day were two. One was a pair of muck boots that I would mm-hmm. have when I would go out to, go out to the farm or go someplace that's going to be wet and muddy, and I knew it was going to be wet and muddy, and then I would wear mm-hmm. a pair of muck boots or something like that. Then a handful of years ago, I invested in and I say invested because they're fairly expensive to buy, like a big insulated Alpha Burley Pro from La Crosse, right? One yes. of the typical big cold weather hunting boot that a lot of people will wear. And I just, like, from a hunting standpoint, I never really got past I didn't feel like they kept my feet warm as much as I would like them to. And so, and plus I'm a mobile guy. I run and gun. I like to tear up and set down and move a lot. And it's just not, for me, the big bulky rubber boots just didn't cut it. So I found other ways to handle that. And yeah, so, sure. And so let me ask you this, right? Knowing that there's a ton of other rubber boots on the market, what was the idea that, you know, you had this idea to make a boot? What was that idea? Talk to us about the idea. Talk to us about, you know, the point where you're like, dude, this might work on a larger scale.
Yeah. So, you know, similar to you, I'm an outdoorsman, turkey deer and ducks. And every year I was in the market for a new pair of boots. Mainly because they just weren't holding up with what I was putting them through, you know, running, gunning, turkey hunting, and like you know, very mobile for deer. And so every year I was in the market for a new pair of boots, and I actually found a pair that I really liked, mainly because they were a little bit lighter, and just like the comfort levels, they didn't sweat as bad. But that particular pair, I couldn't get that pair to last 8 months. I bought two pairs and they were $200 a piece. And finally I was like, something's got to give.
What blew out on them? I mean, what made them not last for you?
It was, they had a neoprene top, and you know, if you're going through briars,
yeah.
That neoprene just doesn't hold up very well. And you know, here in the South, it's like everywhere you go is a briar patch somewhere. Yeah. So So I wanted something lightweight, started researching materials, and just kind of literally learned about boots and how boots are made, what people did and didn't like about them. And this particular material, super, super lightweight. It had insulating properties. It was tough, durable. It's used on, you know, it's similar to a Croc. People that pick it up are like, it's a Croc that's a boot.
Yeah.
But our particular blend of material is a little bit different than a Croc. So it's a little bit softer, and that allows it some flexibility kind of around the calf area.
Gotcha. Okay. So then you had this idea and you're like, okay, let's look into making it, because, you know, a lot of times an idea will happen. It's like, oh, I got this great idea. And then you look into the manufacturing process, or you look into what it's going to cost. And then it's just like, whoops, great idea, but no one's going to pay $10,000 or for whatever,
no doubt.
You know what I mean? So what was the next step like, where, hey, I got the great idea, but how do we get this into people's hands and actually make the product?
Yeah. So, you know, kind of like anything, good idea, how do I execute it? And the execution was not easy by any stretch of the imagination. I was up all night, every night for a couple months, talking to people overseas, different manufacturers, actually looked at getting them made in China. And I invested a lot of money on some stuff in China and getting samples made. And by the grace of God, I found a company in Mexico, flew down there, met with them, and they could do it. They were making a boot, I would say somewhat similar, but not really that close. And, you know, it's an injection molded boot. So it's very, and the mold is very intricate. It's a 4-piece mold that's CNC'd out of aluminum. So it took a long time to get the mold exactly right. And then once the mold was right, the injection of the material and the different characteristics of the material, we had to play with that. So it was a lot more in depth than just, you know, build me a boot. And during that process, I learned a lot about, you know, all the way all boots are made, and most all of them are made overseas, and somewhere in Asia. And what was crazy to me, it was like, man, I could start a boot company tomorrow selling a boot just like all the main players do right now and just call them something different.
Right.
So it was really kind of eye-opening to me, you know, where all our junk is made and how easy it would be to just slap a logo on something and start selling it. But that's obviously not the route I took. So I wanted to kind of create something unique, and I really feel like we did that.
Yeah. So what were the first prototypes like that you got back from, you know, from the facility when you were, you know, designing prototypes and things like that?
Man, you think about like a kid at Christmas, you know, so you've got this idea and you're talking to these people that don't speak the same language as you, and you're sending pictures back and forth. And it was finally like, all right, well, we made some pairs and sent them to me, and opening the box, it was just like, wow, this is it.
Yeah.
Like kind of like a eureka deal, and letting some buddies wear them around. And, you know, when you hold them, they're like the reaction video. They're so light, your brain doesn't really process like, wow, how can they be this light? It just doesn't feel right. And then the next step there was like, how well do they hold up? And, you know, gave them some buddies and had them put them through the ringer. And every one of them was like, dude, you got to do this. You got to go all in. So that's what I did in September last year. I quit my job and went all in on boots.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. All right. So you compared them to Crocs a little bit, right? Maybe not. And then also, I'm on your website right here, and one of the bullet points describing this boot is very durable. Well, I blew out a pair of Crocs in a summer. You know what I mean? Like in a, you know, I had a pair of Crocs. I wore them every single day. And then eventually the bottom ran out, and my bottom of my foot was touching the ground at
wow.
some point. Yeah.
You really ran through.
Yeah. I used them every, when I say every day, it was every day when I got them for, I got them for Christmas. And then I started wearing them. Like that's how much I wore them. So, talk about this boot in, because as I look at this, I see lightweight. I heard lightweight. I heard croc-like material. And so immediately, as someone who beats the shit out of their equipment, I hear it's not going to be as durable as other boots. You're sacrificing durability for the construction. Talk about the durability.
I would think, you know, it would be a little bit, you know, subjective to exactly what you put them through. Cause I've had my pair of Crocs for 6 years, but obviously I'm not wearing them every single day.
Yeah.
And you know, it would depend on where you're wearing them. If you're wearing them on gravel or asphalt all day, every day, they're not going to hold up as good as if they are just walking through the woods.
Yeah.
So, you know, for what they're designed for, the bottom of this sole is a lot more aggressive. The tread is a lot more aggressive than a Croc for that reason.
Yeah.
To give you some more longevity and to give you a little bit more grip in obviously wet and muddy conditions where you'd be using them.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a sole that comes in or an insert that comes with these boots in the bottom?
So there's not. And, you know, that was one of the, when looking at doing it, I actually had some samples that I had an insert in them, and then I did some without. And so this, the sole is similar to a Crocs. There's nothing inside the boot. It's all one piece. And there's some little bumps on the bottom to keep your foot from slipping. But the big part there is if you did get water down in your boot, if you're crossing a creek and it got wet, or if you left them in the back of your truck and it rained, you wouldn't need a boot dryer to dry them out. You just dump them out and wipe them down with a napkin, and you'd be back good to go.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's a true rubber boot. If the inside gets wet, dump it upside down, clean it out. We're back to wearing them. Now the
But like a Croc, so it's not technically rubber. It's more of a foam.
Okay.
So the big thing there with rubber boots is rubber will get brittle, especially in cold weather.
Right.
And that's where you have a lot of your cracking. This material literally will not crack. I think it remains its flexibility down to like negative 150 degrees Fahrenheit. It's a foam. It flexes and literally won't mold, won't mildew, won't rot.
Yeah. So the other thing with a typical rubber boot that I've experienced in the past is it's not like a hiking boot, right? You're sacrificing Correct. One thing for another. And so my feet are sliding around in this thing. You know, I can't tie it like like shoelaces or anything like that. Are these form fitting on your feet? Are they going to slide around in them?
They will a little bit. And that's kind of by design. Again, it's so different than anything anybody's really ever worn. So most of your, like you said, like your traditional knee boot, there's a lot of seams in there, and there's material that kind of comes together in places. And so when they don't fit good, they cause blisters. These boots are smooth on the inside. So they don't rub, and they really don't create a blister. It was something that me and my buddies actually just kind of talked about a month ago. It's like, you know, we wore these, put them through the ringer, warm, you know, day one, all day walking, no blisters.
Like
I've never had that with another boot. They're just not as clunky. There's not enough as much weight to like cause that friction.
Gotcha.
They're just not liking rubber boots. I'm with you. Like you wouldn't go somewhere you were planning on walking 15 miles in a traditional rubber boot because you'd have blisters.
Yeah.
But I know in Nebraska, I put 20 miles a day on a pair.
Yeah. So on the website here, it talks a little bit about don't do these things, right? Mm-hmm. So let's see, causes boots to shrink or deform. What causes your boots to shrink or deform?
So it's an injection molded boot, and it's molded by heat. So when they inject this material, they get it really hot. It sits in this machinery for 3 or 4 minutes. When it comes out, it expands, and then they put it on another form and it cools to that shape.
Right.
So the melting point is like somewhere around 200 degrees or so. But the problem that you have, especially in the South, is, you know, if it's, I think it's supposed to be 102 degrees tomorrow here.
Dang.
Well, if you leave these in the bed of your truck in direct sunlight and it's a 100 degree day, the bed of your truck will literally get to 180 degrees. We shot it with a thermal gun last week and I was like blown away. So it's really just, it's the heat plus the direct sunlight that just takes it to a level that, I've heard people with Crocs that have shrunk up, yeah. And that's how I figured this out. So that all the positives, that's probably the one negative, is just really extreme heat.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. And then, it says something here about they can also develop a bit of a memory, on, is that on the foot when you put them in?
Yeah. So, you know, the more you wear them, and that's one thing that, like, for the longest time, all these people wearing Crocs, I'm like, I'm not getting a pair. They look retarded.
Yeah.
You know, so but when I finally did get a pair of Crocs, I realized what the whole fuss was about. The more you wear them, the more they shape to your foot and kind of more comfortable they are. So, like, if I go to put my buddy's pair of size 11 Crocs on, they're just going to feel different than mine. And so these boots kind of have the same characteristics. The more you wear them, the more they kind of fit your foot profile.
Gotcha. Gotcha. But, and that's the one thing I like about certain insoles or inserts is that almost like memory. And I feel like on certain boots that I have, once that shoe's really broken in, it has that foot memory in there, whether that's rubber or whatever material it is. And that's when you stop thinking about your feet. Go ahead.
To that point, so most of this material's EVA, and most of your, I say most, I would say 90% of your midsoles for your shoes, whether they're boots, tennis shoes, whatever, are that material. So this has the same natural cushion that you're used to in any, just about any shoe or boot that you own.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And so when it comes to, let me ask you this. Once you started, I've seen the reaction videos, but once you started getting this boot out, it says here 13 ounces per boot. Well, I'll tell you right now, but the rubber boots that I have aren't even close to that. They're probably like four pounds per boot or whatever. Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So what was the, when you started, I guess, getting the prototypes in and you started getting these out to people for them to wear, what was some of the feedback coming back to you on either how to make it better or how to adjust it, like adjust it? Good, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah, so normally when people hold them for the first time, their reaction is holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, wow, it's a mind-blowing deal. Like this just doesn't feel right. But the one thing that we really worked on was just how easy it was to get your foot inside and out of the boot. So like when you look at them, around the ankle, the ankle is bigger than in a lot of your traditional rubber boots. And we did that by design. We want them, the biggest complaint you heard was like how hard it was to get my boots on and off in particular.
Yeah.
They make the boot pullers that you got to have. And if you don't have one of those and you're an older guy, you almost literally need somebody to help you get your boot off.
Yeah.
So with these being so light, like I talked about the not rubbing, that little bit of play in the ankle was something that a lot of my buddies were like, yeah, it's a little sloppy, you know, around the ankle. I was like, well, just wear them. And all of them after wearing them for a couple of days was like, I get it now. They don't have to be tight around your ankle.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So when it comes to was there any feedback, any bad feedback that you had to make adjustments on?
I mean, we made some just changes here and there, but not really. I guess I had gone through some bad stuff in China where I was like, I need to do this different, this different, and this different. So when I actually got my first prototype in, I kind of knew what I wanted, and that was before I actually kind of gave them to anybody. So Our initial feedback, the reviews have been phenomenal. One thing that couple negative feedbacks that we've got is the calf. If you've got an extremely large calf, these were tight. And so we're actually working on like a wide calf model right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of your now will have like a gusset that will allow you to expand and contract that calf.
Yeah.
And so this will allow us to kind of get people with big calves a boot that fits them right.
Gotcha. I wish I had big calves. My brother had all of the calves in when it came to like how our genetics were divvied up. I got the bigger upper body and he got the bigger calves and quads and things like that. So, I'm a little bit pissed at that. It's like the movie Twins, right?
I'm in the same boat. If I wear shorts around, it's a little embarrassing. Big legs.
That's funny. Okay, so who's your customer?
Like you, I've got ties to the outdoor industry. That's kind of my passion. And so initially that's kind of our, market that we're focusing on. But it's really just a general everyday boot for, like you said, you may not need these boots every day. There's some people in the South that wear boots like this literally every day.
Yeah.
But in places up there, it's like, hey, it's been raining every day for the past week and I got to go feed cows or feed my dogs or do something outside. And I can slip these on and off really easy and not get my socks all wet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just a good everyday rain boot.
Yeah. Well, that and I see a functionality. I don't know. We call them yard boots on the farm where we'd throw a pair of muck boots on or really light boots, like something like this to go out and, basically step in manure all day or, scoop manure or do something where the boot's going to get really dirty and really muddy, spray it off, set them upside down and wear them again the next day. Right. So, if it wasn't for the Midwest and the North, right? Mm-hmm. We have these colder temperatures. Have you guys done any experimenting in colder temperatures as far as not how the boot necessarily performs, but how you would layer socks or how you would try to keep the foot warm also while wearing a light boot?
Yeah. So, kind of like you hit on earlier, a burly, heavy insulated rubber boot, not only is it like extremely heavy, these are an insulated boot and they're a quarter of the weight, maybe less than some of those other boots. But if I think it depends on your situation. If you were riding a four wheeler to your stand and got out and got in it, and you had a 2000 gram Thinsulate boot, you'd probably be perfect. But if you had to walk a half mile to that stand in that 2000 gram boot, well, your feet are going to be literally soaking wet.
Yeah.
Because regardless of how, cold or hot it is, if you move around, heat leaves your head and your feet. So that's where you're going to get moisture from. So we found the best with these boots is just a regular, sock in most conditions, a lightweight merino sock in very cold conditions that would, keep you dry, allow you to breathe. But these boots hold in heat extremely well. And like when you hold a pair, people are like, where's the insulation? Well, the insulation is actually in the material itself. So when they're manufactured, there's millions of little tiny air bubbles that are formed in that material, and air is your insulator, just like it is in your house or neoprene. So they're actually very warm for how you feel.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. Right. So that allows an opportunity for you to kind of go north a little ways with a product like this, and with it not being rubber. So maybe you just answered this, but rubber compared to the material that these boots make, does one hold, I don't know, like the word breathable, like, so with a traditional rubber boot, they're not breathable, right? Sure. Are these boots breathable at all? Do they hold temperature in a different way than a traditional rubber boot?
So a traditional rubber boot, your insulation is through ThinSulate, and that's a liner material, and that ThinSulate may be breathable, but the rubber around it is not. So, and similar with neoprene, none of them are really breathable to the outside air from your foot. None of them. Now there are some, you know, lace-up type boots that are.
Yeah.
That offer some waterproofing material and are breathable. But as far as this or a rubber boot or a neoprene boot, none of those are technically breathable. Now, there may be some stuff inside there that is, but the outer layer is absolutely not. So, you know, I guess it's, you know, marketing, and I've learned this and reading, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors. And
yeah.
Temperature ratings and breathability and won't sweat. And I'm you know, after talking to you, you're pretty blunt, and I'm a lot the same way. I'm not going to lead somebody down a path. I mean, I could probably say that they're breathable, but they're not.
Yeah. Well, that's respectable, man. A lot of people bullshit. And then it ultimately comes back to hurt them in the end and say, well, I mean, I love talking with companies, and you haven't really come out and said it, but there's other companies that have said it, like, maybe my product's not right for you, or what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, obviously everybody, especially in the hunting, right? We got guys that hunt in Saskatchewan where it's negative 60 degrees all the way down to, you know, the rut in the South could be 100 degrees in some days, you know, down there. So it's there's different products for different people. And I think here is something really cool, man. It's just a different angle, and you're putting your time and energy into the hunting industry because it sounds like that's what you're passionate about. And the only question I have, and it's something I probably should have asked right off the at the beginning, but what is your background that led you to this? Because a lot of times a guy will say, well, my background was this, or maybe they own a machine shop. And so they're like, well, I'll make a tree stand, or they own a machine shop and say, well, I'll make broadheads, right? Did you have a background in any of this before you started?
I was not in the, you know, footwear industry by any means. My dad worked for Mossy Oak, and so I've been around hunting my whole life.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, during duck season, I'm duck hunting, deer season. So from really, I would say October through May every year, I'm in the outdoors.
Yeah.
Whether it be deer, ducks, or turkey. And so my buddies joke around, like, if Brooks is hard on his shit, if it held up for him, it's going to hold up for anybody.
Right. That's a win. That's a win.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, my friend, if people want to find out more about your guys' boots, why don't you go ahead and tell them where we can find your information?
Yeah, so we're on all the social media platforms, Light Boots, LITE, and then you can go to www.lightboots.com to order them. The cool thing about them, the price point, you know, they're only $80, so it's a good price point in comparison to any other boot that, you know, you'd be looking at buying.
Yeah.
So it's a great gift idea, and good all around boot, and buy a pair. You won't regret it.
Perfect. Well, Brooks, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on the podcast and talk about light boots with us, man. Thank you for your time. Good luck with business and good luck out in the field this year.
Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for what you're doing.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up. This one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.